I love when older black women give me advice. For whatever reason, it resonates better. I'm certain that's racist. But I, for whatever reason, when an older black woman says something to me, it holds more weight. I think it's the timing, the their pace
from,
of the way they
say things.
From now
on, I'm going to get some friends of mine to talk to you instead of me because I can't get you to do shit.
100%. Cheers.
My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get. Wow, how have I been living like this? It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless. When Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month, when you purchase a 3-month plan, more like, wow, how have I been affording this? It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. We use Mint Mobile at the office, and we have been saving so much money since switching over, and setting up on Mint Mobile's website was super easy. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bears. That's mintmobile.com/bears. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bears. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 months plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
I could run my business so fucking easy if I just show, like, this is the way I live my life, Drew.
Yeah.
I live my life like, what would I want?
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Which is fucked up when you have semi-addict behavior.
You have anxiety disorder. Keep going.
Bro, it is so bad.
Wait, so finish your thought. I want to. You also have ADD. So.
It's like all these people that go, I make everything goes through Apple Pay.
Yeah.
Apple Pay. Let me tell you something. If you got a product, send it my way. If you have Apple Pay, I'll buy it. Just off impulse.
Right.
By the way, I should just market to addicts because I double click. You know, I bought 3 axes for my daughters.
Finish your iWand.
I just bought 4 rose gold iWands. Go to drdrew.com/iWand. They're fucking amazing. I just hosed down the whole thing with the ultra.
Yeah.
I have every. What's it
Don't
called?
Let it get in your eye, though. It's bad for the eye. Bad for the eye, bad for the skin. That's all. It's really good for surfaces.
What's the thing when they put things right by the register? Impulse buys?
Yeah, yeah.
Bro, I'm an impulse buyer.
Yeah.
Like, that's. I should
4-hour energy drinks. You doing those all the time? Yeah.
I have bought so many. Oh, hey, guys. New 2 Bears, 1 Cave. Our guest host.
Hey.
Dr. Drew.
Glad to be here.
Dr. Drew, considering that I'm the healthiest member of your mom's house.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Studios.
What do you think? Why am I here?
Because everyone's dead. Can you believe that? You know what it is?
I believe that? I was, the first thing I said, what the fuck were Bert and Tom up to?
Oh, it's, man, that poor guy. He said to me last night on the phone, dejected, coming off pain pills, going through a real dark time. So he's like, it really fucked me up. Not to relive this moment and beat a dead horse, but it fucked me up because it happened like that.
Yeah.
We were just fucking around. Yeah. We were just playing basketball. Yeah. We were having fun. We were giggling. No, and then all of a sudden, like, legit tragedy struck like that. And the idea that life
is the worst possible thing for somebody like you. You already are anticipating catastrophes at every moment.
At every moment. And I didn't see this one coming, and I heard it, and I saw it.
Oh, no.
And it fucked me up so bad.
Mm-mm.
I mean, literally, I stayed away from booze this month because of it. Because what happened was, the second it happened, I went home, and I'd already said I'm not going to drink in December until the live show. And I go home and I call Push and realize, love you, Push, but realize she is not at capacity to deal with this. Like, she is not.
Well, no one was dealing in reality at that moment.
No one was dealing in reality.
Because she calls me and says she wants to put him in a hotel and get a nurse. I'm like, go to the hospital.
Yeah.
And well, he was at the hospital. He signed himself out. And so he made it to the orthopedist, and the orthopedist said,
go to the fucking hospital. And so,
woo, you know, people would just die back in the day with those kinds of injuries.
Oh,
you know, I mean,
oh yeah. Oh, if this was 1975, I think he would be dead.
Not 1975, but 1890, he definitely would be.
1960, he's dead.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Possibly.
1960, and he's a gimp for the rest of his life.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, he's like got a wooden crutch, and he's paper.
No, he's going to be.
Today's paper.
He's going to be on one of those plywood wheels. Plywood. Boards with wheels under, pushing himself.
Yeah,
along.
yeah, rolling on his knees. Right. I'm already setting the bar low for his fans when he goes back on tour in fall 2021.
Uh-oh.
I think that's when we'll all be allowed to go fucking tour again.
Yeah.
He will have a baby hand. like a little, like a little. Oh, but he'll put it in his act, and he was Ellis was like, grab something.
What have they told him about his rehab?
I don't know. I really don't know. I'm joking, and I don't know. But a guy did say, I have so much. I hide secrets in my head, hoping they never come true, because I overthink things.
What?
And I overthink things.
You're kidding.
Yeah. So, like, hypothetically, let's say someone broke their humerus in half.
Yeah.
And hypothetically, say their best friend saw that it was spun 700 degrees and then retwisted it back so it was normal. Would that affect someone's hand for the rest of their lives?
You tried to set the bone in the field?
I wouldn't say set it. I just made it so that we weren't all going to throw up.
So his arm was like backwards, like this it under was, like this.
It was, what's it called? It was a Cleveland baseball team burn.
Right. But he broke it enough that it almost broke through the skin. It was called a compound fracture.
It was close to compound. Inside the arm.
Yeah.
But his arm was so that, imagine if he was like, what time is it? And he was like, let's spin my wrist 360 degrees and we'll see now. And he spun it and then he was like, that's not enough. One more time. And spun it again.
Yeah. And then it back?
Well, the video is going to come out. I'm sure someone shot the video.
You spun it back?
Very quickly and very like delicately. I just went, ooh, we don't want that like that. And I turned it around.
That's okay. You might have actually helped because...
Oh my God. I've had so much panic that I've turned Tom into a baby hand. You have no idea. Well, it has been the biggest fear. I keep going, how's your hand doing, buddy?
So here's what the problem is. That when it's all twisted like that, you can cut off the blood supply and you can damage the nerve, right? Now, you restored the blood supply by sending it back.
I was thinking, first thing I got to do.
You did put the nerve at risk, possibly, but
I figured that.
But I doubt you really.
That's what he said, because I kept saying he'd leave the room to go get an x-ray, and I go, hey, man, just out of curiosity. And the guy's like, I'm just cleaning up next door. And I'm like, yeah, I know, but you've been here a while, and I'm not a doctor. And he goes, I'm not a doctor either. I was like, just out of curiosity, say my buddy's arm. I asked everyone.
Can he move his fingers and stuff? Now?
Yeah, he can move his fingers, but he couldn't the day of.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, he couldn't the day of.
But who knows what's going on there.
I was panicking.
But he can do all these things, and he can feel his hands and stuff, right?
Let's give him a call and find out.
Okay. Uh-oh. I'm sure.
You know what? Let's not even do it, because if he has... Okay, but...
No, we should know. We should know, and I can help process it for you.
The guy told me, they go to take Tom for an x-ray, and the guy goes... Man, he's going to have a gimp hand. And I go, what? And he goes, is he right-handed or left-handed? I said, it's complicated. He throws a baseball right-handed, but he writes left-handed. And he goes, is he a pitcher? And I said, no. And he goes, oh, then he's fucked. And I was like, what do you mean?
Who said this?
This fucking guy cleaning up that I put all my eggs in his basket.
All right, let's get Tom. Get him on the phone.
Just really casually. We'll just don't like.
You go. You lead.
Guys, I think he said, can you please spin my arm back around? But I may have written that in my head to make myself feel better about it.
You added that.
I don't know. We will have video. We will have video New Year's Eve on our live show,
ymhstudios.com/livestream.
Did they hear you?
Did you finish your order, by the way?
What order? No, I haven't finished my order.
Does Tom know how upset you are about all this?
No, he does not.
Oh, okay.
I haven't told him.
Okay.
Spin my... Hello? Hey, buddy. We're doing a live show. Hey, how's your hand doing?
What do you mean?
Like, how's the, like, fingers moving okay?
Somewhat. I mean, not entirely, you know?
Okay.
I have,
But that's to be expected, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bruised radial nerve, so it'll take a while.
Okay, good.
Back on. Good. I can't give you the thumbs up.
Well, that's okay.
Can you do this?
Can you make the okay symbol that the racists make?
Right.
Yeah, which hand are you going to do it with, both?
And can he put the pinky and the thumb together?
Can he put the pinky and the thumb together?
Well, I have this glove on right now, so I can do anything with this glove.
Okay.
Well, you know what? It'll be back for New Year's Eve. So you can go.
It won't be back by then.
Okay. All right. Well, good. I'm glad you're doing good. Load off my shoulders.
Bert's worrying about you.
I'm just worrying about you.
Yeah, no. It'll come back with time.
Okay, good. And if not, we'll both go to rehab. Hey, do you remember, can I tell you the, hey, what are the odds Mulaney went to rehab before me, right?
Isn't that crazy?
I want to take him out partying one night to show him how it's done. I don't think
I think he's a closet, like really, yeah, like one of those, he's probably one of those hardcore.
Can I tell you, I wish I had a reality show called Just Before Rehab. And people hit me up and they're like, man, I'm going to rehab tomorrow. Can we have one night where we blow it out of the water? And I'm like, that's what I'm here for.
They all do that.
I think at the end of that show, though, they'd be like, hey, Bert, you should probably really go.
Yeah, you go before me.
Hey, well,
take my bed.
Oh, can I tell you something ironic? Do you remember when I said, what if we did a challenge this year and we saw how big we can get one arm and how small we could get the other arm?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm winning that challenge, yeah.
All right, Drew and I are really humming. We're 8 minutes and 35 seconds in.
Okay, cool, man.
All right, bye.
All right, Tom. All right, so no one told him that's a lacerated nerve.
It's not a lacerated nerve. Yeah, he actually told me that, but he said there was a bruise. He told me that so
it's really probably stretched. Yeah. And the stretching is worse when it's all out of position like that. So again, you might have helped things.
That's all that matters.
You might have helped things. So Bert restored blood supply and maybe got the nerve back in position quicker. Now it was risky because you could have made it worse. Could have hit another bone and torn it. Who knows what?
I was pretty attentive when I did it.
I don't know how much setting of bones you've done.
You will see. I'm certain there's video of me spinning his arm around because I looked at it and I was like, that doesn't look right. And I was like, I think I'm going to throw up. Oh, so bad. So that happens.
Yeah.
And I have fucking severe panic attacks. Like,
As a result. With PTSD.
Yeah. Yeah. There's stuff I can't talk about in life that I can't talk about in, like, even to anyone that has.
Is Why?
It healthy?
Why?
Because I promised. Like, I don't know. I can't.
Wait.
I talked to my therapist about it. But like things that
why
that
not
I can't because I don't know, it's a long story.
Okay, but it's a huge mistake to withhold stuff from your therapist. They can only do so much if you're withholding.
Oh, is it bad to lie to him?
Bad. But I don't understand what it
how is. How about misinterpret his information so it fits your agenda, and then you feed that agenda to your family? Because I've been doing that also. I've been doing like
using what the therapist says against your family.
Like I'll take what he says and then I'll go.
My wife does that.
I kind of heard that, but it fits better if I say it this way.
Yeah, yeah. And then you use that against your family.
Yeah, and then
yeah. Don't do that.
So anyway, let's go back to this.
Wait,
hold on 1 second. I'm gonna forget my thought.
All right,
I'm gonna remember my thought.
All right.
Okay. Oh, I got my thought. All right. Okay.
Go.
So I go.
Warren leaves you.
I go. Full panic mode, and I talked to Push, and I said, I fucking just want to drink. This is the night of. I just want to drink, and I know that's not healthy. And she goes, Bert, have a beer. Relax. Come over and have a glass of wine with me, and then we'll help get Tom into the bed. But here's what's different about my brain, is my brain goes, that's not when we drink, big guy. Like, I know that the impulse to tap out and get the fuck away from reality is there, but you're not allowed. My brain goes, we're not allowed to do that. And then my brain's like, and we're not allowed to do that for a while, because we know where we are, and we know that this is, it's like working out. It's like getting on the treadmill and hating running and going, but I still have to do this for 30 more minutes.
Yes, you have, that's your frontal lobes functioning. Yeah. You have functioning frontal lobes.
So I go, all right, so I go down, we help Push, we help Tom.
Yeah.
I come home.
Yeah.
And again, it's an impulse.
And by the way, that must have been horrible. He must have been in miserable pain and should not have been home and all
fucking
that.
Fucking Leanne is such a cunt. She.
How dare you?
She.
I'm going to come to her.
You should have been there, Drew.
Uh-oh.
Tell me this isn't fucking straight up cunt move. We get Tom, we carry Tom from his garage to his screening room.
Who's carrying him?
Me and Lindsay. Lindsay's a twink fucking film guy. I bought a lifting belt and everyone made fun of me. And then we're like, how are we getting there? And I go, I bought a lifting belt. So I put a lifting belt on Tom.
Yeah.
I lift it up. It's tough because his body doesn't have like definition. So the belt just kept going up and up and up until it found enough fat to mushroom it. And so that's a lie. But anyway, so I carry him into the screening room. I'm sweating. Push has a glass of wine and a handful of fucking crepes. And she's like, I don't know what to do. Lindsay's almost passed out from overexertion. Leanne's watching this. We get Tom. Tom's in so much fucking pain.
Yeah, I know.
His arm is not connected at this time.
No, I know.
And it's not even. And they didn't splint it right. They put the wrong splint on it.
I'm sure. There's no right splinting something like that, by the way.
And so we lay him on the bed, and everyone takes a moment to assess. And Tom is almost tears in his eyes, like what the fuck? This was supposed to be a fun event.
Meaning the original day.
Everything.
The day.
We're not supposed to end up on this couch with four people standing around me, and it's silent, and Leanne just goes, well, this is going to suck for a long time. And he looks at her, and he goes, what? And she goes, honey, this is going to be real bad. for a, like a year. And we're like, hey, who the fuck? What script are you reading from? This isn't a, like, this is, you don't need that. No one needs that. She goes, well, no one's saying it. I'm going to say it. He's going to gain weight too. You're going to gain a lot of weight.
You what? Need,
and Push is handing him fucking muffins with Nutella on him.
Wow. I was and, like, and did she back off at
no,
all?
No, that's Leanne.
Did she apologize?
What, do you want me to lie? you want me to lie? I see a gator in the water. I tell you, I see a gator in the water.
She needs to be more honest with you, I think.
She fucking...
I like her honesty. I like that.
I don't like her honesty at all.
Oh, I do.
Oh, no. Leanne has...
It's not cunty.
Brutal it's, honesty.
Yeah, it's not cuntiness. That's cunty. Not cunty. It's no, cunty. No, no, no. Not empathic failure, right? She's not really appreciating what the impact of her words are.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's not cunty. Stop it.
Oh, I have so much I could share. I'll tell you the first
I still want to know what you're not telling your therapist.
Hang on. We're going to get to this. Right. We're going to... When I first went on a date with Leanne, I was in a play. We were dating for less than 4 months. I was in a play.
Yeah.
I had my first play. I'd never been in a play. I'm not even a really great actor. Like, what? I'm better now because I can... Because I used to think about acting. Now I just go, oh, it's like a reality show where you just talk.
Yeah, yeah.
And so,
isn't that funny how reality has become the measure of acting?
It is. I'm such a good actor now. Like I said to Rosario Dawson, I'm not an actor. And she goes, you just hosted an entire series where you read the words and you read everything. And I went, yeah. She goes, yeah, that's acting, honey. And I was like, no, it's not. It's just me
it's hosting.
Being Bert.
That's
she
hosting.
Goes, yeah, but you're reading someone else's words and making it look like you're not reading anything.
Yeah.
That's called acting. And I went, oh, yeah. So I'm in a play. I'm very proud of myself. Hilarious play. By the way, this is the funniest. We wrote a play about four guys who moved to Cocoa Beach to watch shuttle launches. they're going to graduate college and just have shuttle launch parties.
Oh, that's funny.
And they do it during the time that NASA kind of shuts down. And they don't have any shuttle launches.
Uh-uh.
And then the first time they have a shuttle launch, they're all about to move out. And then finally there's a shuttle launch. And the day they have a shuttle launch, they accidentally break in to go get close, and they cause an explosion, and the shuttle explodes. And Drew, our play premiered, the opening night was the day the shuttle exploded.
Oh.
The day, I wish I could call my friend, but he committed suicide. So
what?
Yeah. But not because of the play, but just because he was partying, I think.
Oh.
But it the day the shuttle launch.
The Challenger.
Not the Challenger. The other one. The one that was coming in and the tiles
popped
off.
Yeah.
That explodes. Our play comes out and we're like, what do we do? And we're like, well, I think, you know, the show must go on. And we're like, it's kind of bad taste to do a play about the shuttle exploding the day the shuttle explodes. Anyway, we do the play and no one shows up except for a film critic, the LA film critic. If you could find that. I wish I'd remember the name of the play.
This ought to be a new reality show where we actually go down to SpaceX and actually do this.
I got offered to go to space one time, and I was like, I got to take it, right?
Mm.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You get the vaccine, you got to take it. You go to space, you got to take it.
All right,
roll the dice sometimes. Anyway, I get done the first opening night. I'm humming. I feel good. I'm not drinking at the time also, I don't think. And I get in the car, and I go, so what did you think? And she goes, you suck. And I went, what? And she goes, you don't listen. Like, you just are like big and loud. And I'm like, hold on. Like, we just could have said, you're great. I don't need anything.
You've been dating how long at this point?
4 months, maybe.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, you could have just said, like, you did great. She goes, what? Am I supposed to lie? And I went, well, yeah, you can just not hurt your feelings. Yeah.
What did she say to your kids now? How did Santa Claus? How was that dealt with?
Well, I think I actually talked about that on Push.
So, what is it you want to get to? But there was something you wanted to get to, and I still want to know why you couldn't say something to your therapist.
Well, I want to play a game called, I'm going to give you my test results because I just got a full blood panel, and you tell me if I'm lying or if they're real.
Okay.
Okay. And then, Nadav. All right. So, and then we're talking about Santa Claus.
All right.
So I didn't tell the girls Santa was fake until like Georgia was in eighth grade, which is really late.
And Leanne played all the way along.
Oh, yeah.
She lied.
Oh, we both lied.
So she does lie about certain
stuff. Oh, yeah. Santa Claus,
when it works
about,
for her.
When it works for her. She's, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like because she had a shitty childhood with her mom that she only knows to like my sister does something where she'll go, Like, she'll call you up and you're like, how are you doing? She's like, dad's got coronavirus. And you're like, what? She's like, I'm just fucking with you. And you're like, hey, don't ever do that. Like,
yeah, yeah.
That's not fun. No one enjoys that.
Yeah.
How you doing? Oh, I have AIDS. What?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. Like, you're like, that's not a joke. Like, there's no humor involved in that.
Yes.
So I think because Leanne's childhood was rough, she appreciates hurting you, like taking you down a notch. And
really?
And I don't think she even knows she's doing it.
She doesn't know she's doing it.
She doesn't know she's doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
She said something one time.
This is the empathic failure part.
But yeah, now it's beneficial at times because I do my special secret time. I do two tapings on one night. And because of this, I changed it and I ended up doing four tapings. But I did two tapings. And I said to Leanne, I gave her a notepad and I go, hey, because I know she'll be, that's the one good thing is I know she never lies to me.
Yeah.
So I go, here's a pad. Write down, anytime I flub a line, write it down so I can pick it up in the second show.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, okay. So I go and I have a really bad first show. Anyone with this Philly was in the truck show for the first taping knows I actually kind of bombed.
Yeah.
I kind of bombed. I was all over the map. And I go to the green room and everyone in Hollywood's like, everyone is like, so we got it. We got a good one. It's like, it's 90%. Dude, we got a few pickups and I know I bombed. My buddy Tony Hernandez, who's producing it, he knows. I've grown up with Tony.
Yeah.
He knows I bombed.
And he's not telling.
He's not saying anything, yeah. But he's like, we...
We're on our way.
He's like, he's trying to think of fixes, but he's not coming up with it yet. And then Leanne walks in the green room. I go, what do you think? She goes, well, I don't know where to start. That sucked. And everyone's like, hey, Leanne, we're... And she's like, no, you better have a good show next show because, honey, you did not get it. Like, and then she shows me her paper. She goes, I mean, this thing's full of fucking mistakes. And I'm like, I got it, Leanne. And then my buddy Tony was like...
I have the same thing with one of my... I find myself saying... Do you understand how talent's supposed to be managed? You got to manage talent. You don't just bully us.
I said to her, I said, you know, there are mean things I could say to you. Like I could go, like she's, I would never say. See, I would never say it because I don't even think it. Like she took a writing class at UCLA.
Yeah.
Over the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I if it was flipped around, she would go, well, what the fuck are you going to college for? You dropped out. You ain't going to be a writer. And I would never say that because I go, I think
you encourage her. Yeah.
I go, I want to see where this goes.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Her writing is fucking awesome. But if it was flipped around, I feel like she would have been like, you ain't going to school. You're already busy. Like that's how she'd treat it. But I go look at it and I'm like, ooh, do that. That'd be cool. I can't wait to read what you wrote. Like, why can't I be married to that sometimes? Where it's like, it was like, oh, I can't wait to see what, like,
somebody,
I have an,
somebody
I had,
positive.
I had an idea. I had an idea that I think I'm gonna end up selling as a TV show.
Mm.
And it was a fucking stupid idea.
Yeah.
Like I've had a lot of stupid ideas.
Yeah.
Fat Astronauts.
Yeah.
Stupid fucking idea. Well, Secret Time, Tom and I might make that movie. Like I've had dumb ideas where I go, like, but I've told everyone this, you know, Yard Crashers, Bath Crashers, how, like the TV show on DIY Network.
I really don't. Yeah.
It's a series where they, if you're working on your yard, they surprise you at Home Depot.
Yeah.
And they go, you're in the yard stuff. You're working on your yard. And they're like, yeah, our backyard's fucked. And they're like, how about we do it for you? And they're like, okay. And I pitched a show, not even joking, to DIY Networks, the president, called Moat Crashers.
Moat Crashers.
Yeah. I was like, every man's house is his castle. Every castle needs a moat. You go to Home Depot, find some guy in there.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, man, you building a moat? And the guy's like, no. And you're like, do you want one? And you know one asshole's like, I'll take a fucking moat. I'll take a moat in a heartbeat.
Right. I have a friend that did him put a moat around his house.
Fuck yeah. The best line
you
of defense.
And he's a contractor. You got to talk to the guy and go to his house and like do a little interview with him if you do this show.
Secret Time, I'm building a moat.
Yeah.
I'm building a moat and I'm spending through the fucking nose for it. And I'm going to just say it's a koi pond, but it's going to be a moat with a fucking bridge. I can't fucking wait. Like, why wouldn't you want a goddamn moat?
Like, a full drawbridge where you're like... Yeah.
So, let's get to the point of this conversation.
Your labs?
No, we'll do that. Should we do that now or should we...
You know what?
I'll lead into that.
Okay.
You ready?
Okay.
So...
Buying someone jewelry is usually a great experience all around. They get a beautiful gift, and you get the unforgettable moment of seeing the look on their face when they open it. The only tricky part, figuring out how to get the perfect piece at the best price. This is what I recommend for any jewelry purchase. Source it from BlueNile.com. Blue Nile offers thousands of independently graded diamonds and fine jewelry at prices significantly below traditional retail. They also offer a peace of mind with every purchase with some of the highest quality standards in the industry. They're available 24/7 by phone or chat to answer technical questions and give recommendations for every budget. The thing about buying jewelry is you really don't know what you're getting into. You don't know what you're looking at often. And the great thing about working with Blue Nile is you have somebody who is a true expert that can help guide you along the way so you don't feel lost, so you know what these diamond grades are, you know you're getting real value. You can feel great about your purchase because Blue Nile also offers a diamond price match guarantee. And just in case you don't, they offer 30-day returns. Shop Blue Nile today and experience the ease and convenience of the original online jeweler. Go to BlueNile.com today. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, I'm Johnny Knoxville.
And I'm Elna Baker, and we have a new podcast. It's called Pretty Sure I Can Fly.
Yep, we've teamed up with my friends and barmates from Smartless to create a podcast where we talk to folks who have more balls in a bowling alley.
People who accomplished something extraordinary despite people telling them that it couldn't or shouldn't be done.
You'll hear stories about the Air Force doctor who buckled into a 600-mile-per-hour rocket sled and became the fastest man on the planet.
And a man who wrestles alligators and sharks for fun.
Do not do this.
You'll hear about a foul-mouthed moonshiner.
Got a 2-inch dick and a 6-inch tongue and knows how to use both of them.
And an even more foul-mouthed female stunt pilot. We got bull riders,
balloonists,
bobsledders,
and big wave surfers. People who lay their balls on an anvil and hand the other fella the hammer.
Okay. I bet you've actually done that, Johnny.
Maybe for sweeps. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app
or wherever you get your podcast.
You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
So, I have all this panic attack about Tom.
Yeah.
I have a meeting with my cardiologist that I've been dodging. Shout out to Rich Voss. I've been dodging this because I don't want it my CT scan. I'm like,
your calcium scan.
Yeah, where you do
calcium
like
score. Yeah. Did you get it?
I got it.
And?
Oh, well, we're going to play the game in a second.
Oh, boy.
So I don't want that because I know what's going to happen is I'm going to go in, I'm going to get my calcium score, and they're going to go, okay, it's not bad.
It's a medium, yeah, you're going like, to freak out. Yeah.
So what they say is under 400 is just lifestyle change. Over 400, they got
to
do.
I'm used to hearing percentages.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to give me the scales.
Okay, well, yeah. I know my percentage.
Yeah.
But they say, but that's what someone says to me, and they're like, anything over 400 is... they're going to go in and have to do a stint or do something.
Right. They're likely to have trouble. Yeah.
So that's what I'm terrified that I'm going to go in. And then I'm like, all I'm thinking is preventative. Mm. This is preventative. Yeah. This is good. I love when older black women give me advice. Mm. For whatever reason, it resonates better. I'm certain that's racist. But for whatever reason, when an older black woman says something to me, it holds more weight. I think it's the timing, their pace of the
from
way they
now
say
on,
things.
I'm going to get some friends of mine to talk to you instead of me because I can't get you to do shit.
Oh, I don't listen to white guys at all. So, all that privilege just reeks.
Yeah. So, okay.
Older black woman, first time I get a CT scan.
Yeah. First time. You've had multiple.
I've had one 5 years ago.
Ah.
I go, she sees it in my face. She goes, what's wrong? I said, I don't want to be here. They got her pen and paper. This is back when you could touch people and stuff. She puts it down. She looks at me. She goes, honey. It is better. She goes, the fact that you walked through those doors means you won't be rolled through those doors. And she said, and no one wants to be rolled through those doors.
Yeah.
She goes, you just did something good for your family and yourself. And I went, oh, now I hear that and it relaxes me. Mm. So I just been playing her thing in my head over and over and over again.
Yeah, sure.
Let me pull up my test scores.
All right.
So I go in, I've been dodging it. Then Tom gets this. I think I talked about it somewhere. Tom gets all his work done and I just watch. I know he didn't have an option.
His orthopedic work.
Yeah. Just all of it from like, just let's get, like the way he took charge in a, from a beta position, meaning like he was broken arm, broken knee, but the way he just said, let's go, let's do this.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's like, he went in and they were like, do you drink? And he said, no. And I knew he wasn't lying and I would have lied.
Yeah.
And he's like, do you smoke? And he goes, no. And they're like, okay, how much do you weigh? He's like, 235. And I'm like, is that real? Like, and then it grew a little bit. He's like, 240. But I was just like, the way he handled everything.
You admired it.
And yeah. I said, I need to
do that with your. This. Yeah, good.
So okay. I said.
He moved forward. They move on with it.
So I say to myself, I'm not going to push my CT scan.
Yeah.
Which I've been doing. I've been just pushing it.
Okay, you got it. And?
I mean, let me pull it up. I got to go to my CS link. Log in. My password's herpes boy. That's my go-to. I met one girl and I said, hey, what's your email? And she goes, it's a joke. And I went, what is it? And she goes, herpesgal35. And I went, I'm not going to email you.
But I'm going to switch all my passwords to herpesgal. Yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay. So comprehensive metabolic panel is the one we go to.
CMP.
But first off, okay, let's start with my CT scan.
Okay.
Now, full panic mode. Yeah. Don't want to be there.
Right.
Percentage wise,
yeah,
my lifestyle, where do you think I registered?
10 to 20 in that zone.
10 to 20.
Yeah.
What would you say if I said it was zero?
I would believe it.
Booyah, yeah. Bitches. Yeah. Mickey Mantle, yeah. Gene. I was more shocked than my cardiologist.
Yeah. Let me point out to you that alcoholics don't get heart disease.
Nice. Why?
We don't really know.
So thin?
They don't really know. There's theories about what it does to the lip metabolism and things. But if you notice, alcoholics, don't die of heart attacks.
Yeah.
Not unless they smoke.
Not unless they smoke. Yeah. That's so fucking awesome.
Yeah. So good. But, you have some protective effect there.
So I
might be all the estrogen, because you build up a bunch of estrogen when you're.
What's going on with my tits?
That's what's going on with them.
Because when I started doing dips and push-ups, because I was like, my tits are look like a little female-y.
Like there's a bud there, huh?
Yeah, like a little like.
Well, some of it's just fat. I mean,
it's fat.
And then the other is alcohol. Alcohol will do that. So we got keep going.
So 0%. So all of a sudden I'm like, I went from.
Congratulations, that's good.
Thank you. Yeah,
That's actually highly predictive and very good.
Okay, really? Let's also just say good. We don't need to say highly predictive.
Well, no, my question: why do you have a cardiologist?
Because my dad's dad and my mom's dad both died of strokes. My dad had blockage in his widowmaker, and the CT scan saved his life.
Okay, and strokes have nothing to do with cardiology.
Well, great.
It can if you have valvular disease or something. But all right. So anyway, so you're just going to be, because of family history, you're going to follow along.
Okay. So now the really important one that we want to judge. This is the one we always worry about: AST and ALT levels.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now what we're going to do is I'm going to read past
results. These are the liver enzymes.
And
these days, one of the leading causes of cirrhosis is actually not alcoholic liver disease, but fatty liver disease.
Yeah, that's what he said, that people getting cirrhosis that don't even drink.
Fatty liver disease.
Yeah.
From weight excess, happening a lot these days.
I have had fatty liver in the past.
And, keep going. Well, we don't know whether that's weight or alcohol or both.
He thinks it's weight, because I've never had it before, and I ballooned up to... which I said my heaviest was 256.
Yeah.
He was like, no, it's not. And I was like, what? And he goes, you remember the one time you came in, you said, I just don't want to know anything? And I went, yeah. He goes, you were 260. I said, are you fucking serious? He goes, yeah. I was like, I was 260? That was the last time I was in. And he was like, yeah. And I was really concerned, because I could tell on the sonogram that you had fatty liver.
Oh.
And he goes, and if your numbers didn't drop, I wanted to go in and get a full fucking scan of your liver and see.
Now, are you going to tell me how I got, or
I got
past
results.
Okay.
Past results. Okay. ALT. Past results. My highest being an 86.
Not too bad.
Okay.
An AST?
Yeah, ALT.
AST?
AST, when it was an 86, was... I just lost 86. Where the fuck did I see? Oh, the... AST at that time was 63.
All right. So these are not directly correlated with seriousness of liver disease, right? They're just sort of a sign that we need to look further into your liver as much. If it were 500, 800,000, well, now we got a problem. Then we're going to have to figure that out.
Oh, it's interesting.
But this is more like, hey, it's not normal liver function. What's going on there?
He was like, that's what he said. Yeah. He goes, that's, I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And he goes, when this was the last time when I was 260, and he goes, he actually said, he looked at me and he goes, you know how this ends, right? And I went, no. And he goes, not good. He goes, I got clients that you know that are big partiers. And he goes, it doesn't end well. He goes, you don't want to be on that side. And I was like, who? And he goes, I can't tell you who. So he goes, listen, I'm going to, I'll give you a year, but you got to try to get healthy. He's like, low carbs. avocados, coffee with no cream.
Yeah.
Like this is all the...
You can actually use a little heavy cream if you want.
Yeah.
You can try that.
But... Well, I've been doing that because I can't fucking do black coffee.
Yeah.
I've been a black coffee guy my whole life, and for whatever reason, Leanne started putting cream in it. Now I can't.
So I suspect in your case, it's both the weight and the alcohol. I think so.
He said
because when your weight goes up, you're drinking more usually. So,
So just got my test results back.
All right,
ALT.
Yeah.
Now the range you want to be is 0 to 55. Anything below 55,
you're
okay. Good.
You're okay.
I'll give you a number. You tell me if it's higher or lower than it. Okay.
Yeah.
30.
Higher.
33.
Ooh, I'm good. But I did expect you to be normal. I did expect it because you're doing better.
Because I am doing better and I'm working out like crazy.
Yeah.
And by the way.
And you're not drinking.
I'm not drinking, but that's one of them. But you know, I haven't drank out of this year. I've probably not drank about 150 days.
Yeah, but when you were on the road, it was not good.
But I was only on the road for like fucking 70 days.
Okay.
So like it's been oddly enough, I didn't drink all of quarantine.
You have to be careful. You can cross a line with your liver. You know what I'm saying?
That's what he said. He goes, just because you can bring it back down every now and then doesn't mean it's going to always happen.
Right.
He was like, you got to make this a lifestyle. I've actually made it. I don't know. I haven't made it a lifestyle yet because I haven't partied yet. So like I got to wait till I party and then come back because that's where I wish there was like a fucking alcoholics. Not Alcoholics Anonymous.
Moderation.
No, that's not work. I heard that lady fucking ran her car into a tree.
She did.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I wish there was an Alcoholics We'll Figure It Out. You know, like, I'll be the...
Well, you could go. Listen, there is such a thing. You could just show up and go and sort
of... No one's going to want me at an AA meeting being like, hey, guys, I'm back. Man, that tour was a fucking blast. I gained some weight, but time to slim down. Am I right, guys?
Well, people do go in and out a lot.
I know. It's
not desirable. You're right.
I've been to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. There are fucking buzzkills. Like,
some of them.
I went to one, and I was like, I just wanted to lose weight. And the guy before me goes, the guy's like, I'm with this guy. I think you know him. He's like, he's a wrangler.
Yeah.
He does like famous people.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was my neighbor, and he was like, yeah, we should go. And he's like, it doesn't mean anything. Just go.
Just
and if you
up.
Hear
yeah.
something yeah. that helps you, then it helps you.
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
And I was like, okay. So we get there, and they're going around, and everyone's saying, hey, my name's Dot, and whatever. And my name's James Gandolfini. And no, I'm kidding. He's dead. I'm sure he went to one. And so he taps me, and he goes, hey, if you want, speak. And now he knows I love speaking, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, all right, I'm going to talk. And he's like, you got to say, you know, my name's Bert, I'm an alcoholic. And I'm like, I do that on stage. Don't worry, I can figure it out. So, and I actually have a bit about it. My name's Bert. Like, I have a bit that I was going to see if I run it by, see if it gets any. So he goes, all right, go. And I go to stand up, and the guy goes, the guy next to me goes, excuse me, I'm going to go real quick. I've had a rough day. And I went, oh, okay. And the guy next to me stands up, and he goes, hi, my name's Blank. I'm an alcoholic. Whew, I have had a bad day. I just want to drink. This morning, I woke up, and I sucked my landlord's dick, and then I lit his car on fire. And I went, I can't follow that. I'm sitting there going, oh, I fucking should have talked before him. This guy just killed it. And then he just goes into detail about he's been sucking his landlord's, and everyone's on the edge of their seat going like, how did you party when you fucking, how did you act when you partied?
Is your beer fridge feeling a little empty? DoorDash is your door to beer without the run. Whatever drink you're in the mood for, they've got you. Order your alcohol with DoorDash today and drink in the savings. Use code BEARS24 to get 25% off, up to $15 value on a $35 minimum subtotal on your next alcohol order for eligible users only. I mean, there's like sometimes you just don't want to leave. That's me. Once we're at a spot and we're hanging out, I just don't want to leave. And now you don't have to. The alcohol selection on DoorDash is top shelf. Beer, wine, mixers, mocktails, and more can be delivered straight to your door. Save up to 25%, up to $15 value when you spend $35 or more with code BEARS24. So whether you're grabbing drinks for an event or staying in for the night, DoorDash is here to help you have a great evening any evening. Terms apply. Must be 21 or older to order alcohol. Drink responsibly. Delivery and promotions available only in select markets.
Shopping for Mother's Day is usually a challenge because I always wait until the last minute, but Macy's Gift Finder makes it an incredible, fast, and easy way to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. You can shop by price, like if you want to find a gift that's $25 and under, or you can bump your budget filter up to $100 if she really deserves a good gift. You can also filter by category like fragrance, handbags, and more. Macy's also offers gift lists, like for moms who have everything. Gifts that are already wrapped and ready to be gifted. Some of the top gifts are Beats headphones, the Studio Pro models, digital photo frames, Polaroid cameras, or the Samsung Smart TV The Frame. Let me tell you something. This makes shopping so much easier. I get panicked when I shop. I talked about it with Tom. I only shop for myself, so shopping for other people is really difficult, especially for my mom and Leanne, both mothers. But this is making it a no-brainer. So go to Macy's.com/giftfinder to find the perfect gift for this Mother's Day. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder.
Now, ALT scores. AST was... should be anywhere between 155. AST should be anywhere between 5 and 34. Now, my past reading, we said my high reading was a 63, but we're not worried till the thousands.
Yeah, yeah.
Where do you think I am? Let's just say 25 would be the medium range. Where do you think I am?
Higher.
You got that right. What would you say if I said 32?
I was thinking 34. I was
34?
It's
a 34. How did you fucking know?
I just kind of
know. How did you know it's a 34? I lied and you knew. I told Tom on the phone we were going to do this, and he goes, you got to lie to him. And I said, he's going to guess the right fucking numbers. Oh. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck.
I just know where you're at.
You know what? I've been trying to do healthy, and I just fucking murdered pasta last night. I can't help it. I figure if I
you got to cut the carbs, man.
It's a carbs.
Carbs
it really
the
is. Carbs are a killer.
For certain people, they really, for me, really the enemy.
My dad has a fatty liver, and he doesn't really drink.
He's a thin guy.
But he doesn't. No, well, he's been fat in his. But he goes, I think it might be better now. But he goes, it's just carbs for him.
Yeah.
And
carbs, the apolipoprotein system can affect how the oxidized cholesterol is put into the arteries and things. And that's all insulin mediated or insulin affected. Uh-oh.
All right, let's talk about
blood sugar.
Cholesterol. Blood sugar. Is that glucose?
Yeah, you're 100.
Oh, my God. You should work at a fucking carnival. You should work at a fucking carnival.
It'd be good, wouldn't it?
I'm 100 on glucose. How the fuck? Hold on. You went through my scores.
No, I didn't.
He can go into my scores, can't you?
Nadav.
We just came up with this on the ride over. I was talking to Tom. God damn it.
Drew does
okay,
not have
okay.
access to your no. test
I can't
results.
Believe that. That is fucking good. I want to get Leanne's numbers. So now.
I don't know her stuff as well.
So now we got. So I'm not going to find.
You can find your cholesterol.
It's not going to be in here, correct? It is in...
Let's just say lipid panel.
It's a lipid panel, yeah. Anion gap. I got the one for cancer, too.
Which cancer?
For anal... Not anal cancer.
Oh, PSA.
PSA, I got that
You're
one.
Like a 1 or a 2 or something in there?
I think below that, 0.7 or something.
Good for you. So this is going to be... Your cholesterol is going to be like 220. It's not going to be that bad.
Hold on. Let's get lipid panel.
Yeah.
My lipid panel. Okay, triglycerides?
175.
No.
Oh.
52.
Whoa. That's surprising.
Why? What does that mean?
That's lower. What's your HDL?
Okay.
60? 65?
Hold on 1 second. Cholesterol, 203.
Okay, I thought that'd be 220, so good.
It's been 220.
Yeah, yeah.
So he actually put me on Lipitor.
Oh, you're on Lipitor.
Because he said...
No, why don't you tell me that?
Well, no, hold on. No, because it's been...
It's
so
been
I'll
up.
Get past results. It's always been up. It's always been 220. It's always been 220.
And your LDL is probably 130, 140, something like that. So
I'll tell you right now, my LDL is...
Was. Three. Now it's fine.
It's
now,
three.
Now
it's, oh, no, it's 148.
That was the past.
No, that's today.
Your LDL is 148 on Lipitor?
No, I haven't taken Lipitor yet.
Oh, okay.
I'm afraid
well,
to take it.
That's why you're taking Lipitor.
You yeah, take it. 148, and then my cholesterol is 203. My HDL is 45, which
yeah.
is high.
No. You want that to be higher.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Usually, okay. you know, high HDL, low triglycerides is a good thing.
Okay, so...
And you want that LDL below 100.
So at my fattest, when I was my fattest, my cholesterol was 229.
Yeah.
My HDL was 47. And my LDL was 159.
Yeah. That's like my numbers. My number, except I had triglycerides up, too.
So triglycerides are what? There's something proteins in your heart or something?
No, the circulating fatty acids, but they're associated with trouble. Let's put it that way.
Really?
And the raising the HDL, lowering the triglycerides are more important than we used to think. We used to be very focused on the LDL, which probably is important also. I take a half of Vytorin, just a little, like a half, and it's boom, so pegs my cholesterol.
So I was told, this is what I was told.
And when I got rid of carbs, my HDL went up, my triglycerides went down. Never has my cholesterol been better than on a no-carb diet.
Yeah, my triglycerides are good. They've been bad in the past.
Okay, well, that makes sense. Didn't I say 175?
You ready for this one?
Yeah.
At my fattest, my triglycerides were 296.
Yeah, okay, that's better. That's more what I would expect. That's the zone I would expect you to be in.
Okay. But
That's the fatty liver doing that.
Is that?
Mm.
Okay. And so now they're down. It's 52, but... So he put me on Lipitor because they've always my cholesterol has always been around 220.
Yeah, you got to take some.
And we
got to keep that calcium score zero. That's the goal.
He said, you know, and by the way, I'm doing this so that you guys, we should have told this at the beginning. You guys should have your blood test scores sitting with us so we can all go through them together. And so, but I heard that if you're on statins, which is Lipitor, that it prevents strokes also.
Yeah.
Then I'm on Lipitor.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck, I'll take Lipitor even if I don't need it.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm very sensitive to this stuff, and I got lots of side effects, and I had to find
out. Okay, so I was afraid. I don't know the right way to say this.
Okay.
But I was
erectile dysfunction, you're worried
about? I was exposed to someone who was exposed to someone with coronavirus.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
7 days ago now.
Okay.
But I got tested 4 days,
five
you're
good.
Days.
You're good. Yeah.
And so I got tested, and that's right when I got my Lipitor. And I, because of my brain, I was afraid to take Lipitor because I was afraid that
it would affect your immune system.
My brain would take over, and I could work myself into being sick.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And so I was all like, you know what? I'm going to wait until I'm out of the woods.
Yeah, yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
And, I got the Lipitor. Now, they say you're supposed to take Lipitor at night.
Yeah. But you might, what milligram is it?
10. Yeah.
Okay. That's a low dose. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
10. So I'll be on 3 sets of pills. I want to get off all pills, but not really, kind of.
You're on blood pressure pills too?
Yeah. And you know what I just found out? You should take your blood pressure before you take your pills.
You should have a range. You have multiple readings.
That information was given to me by the same guy that told me Tom would have a gimp hand. Dude, I leaned so heavy on this guy that was just cleaning up.
What the hell, dude?
He was talkative and no one was talking to him.
He wasn't a black woman.
He was a Mexican dude. And so he was just like, dude, the funniest thing. I think we talked about this, but there was a woman who just spoke Spanish and she was in a lot of pain. She was like two cabins next to us or whatever.
Yeah.
And Tom's getting x-rays and I'm trying to hear what she's had, and she's screaming and crying, like the most pain. And I'm like, what the fuck? And this white woman's going, we're calling, the city's going to know about this. Oh. This is illegal. And she's losing her, the nurse is losing her shit. And I'm like, I got to see what's going on, right?
Uh-oh.
Like, and I was like, this should be a game show. Like where you hear what's going on in the room next to you, and then they're speaking in a different language, and you got to try to translate.
Yeah.
And then Tom just comes back who speaks Spanish. And he sits and he goes, whoa, someone was attacked by a dog. And I was like, what? And he's like, a lot of dogs. They're cleaning our wounds out. And I'm like, fuck, that's what's happening? Anyway. So now to get to here, this is where my brain is. So I get my triglycerides. I get my CT scan. I get all my blood work. And I go from tragedy strikes like that to I'm actually going to live forever. I'm superhuman. And nothing touches this guy.
Neither are true.
I actually think. My dad goes, oh, fuck, you got your grandma, my nana. He goes, you got your nana's genes. I said, what?
Indestructible.
The woman's 101.
Yeah.
And he goes, your mom's got them. My mom, you can't kill that woman.
Yeah.
Like she is.
Well, you've certainly been trying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You've been trying.
Can you imagine if I had never done anything? I would be probably like a movie star, probably.
Yes.
I'd be in perfect shape.
Right.
And I would just be like Rogan would look up to me and be like,
yes.
God damn it, man.
Yeah.
David Goggins, Cam Haynes would be like, you really are the machine. I would have never been the machine though.
Yeah.
So like what?
Right.
Like if you juxtapose who we know Bert to be now, which is so fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like if you look at me on paper, probably top 10 most interesting people in the world.
In my life. Top 10 in my life.
Let's be real. Tom Segura is a very interesting person. I fucking shadow that guy. Like, he is nothing. Like, he's like, oh, I moved around when I was a kid. Oh, really? Did you? Oh, I went to a lot of different high schools. I had to make a lot of good different friends. I mean, like, the things that Tom thinks make him interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, my mom's Peruvian. My dad was
in the military. He's not interesting.
The way I am.
The way you are. That's right.
I'm like, and then I start going.
In the way you are.
In a weird way,
there's nobody interesting in the way you are.
That's really true. Mm-hmm. Now, it also is the way I shade my tails. Like,
You rely on you play on your strengths.
I play on my strengths. Yeah. Like, I'm a great storyteller. But
you didn't know that.
I found that out when I was in ninth grade.
I thought I discovered that.
Oh, no. Hold on. You discovered the machine. If it wasn't for you and the fact that I respected you and you said, this is your movie. This is your story. Yeah. Like, this is...
There's something here.
There's something here. Like this, I don't bring people back to tell the same story. And I went, oh, yeah. I wouldn't be here. I really wouldn't be here because I never would have told that story. If that person hadn't called in, I would have never told that story.
Wow. Crazy.
I would have never told that story. I would love to hear the audio. I'm sure it's out there of me.
We have this guy named Giovanni that collects all the Loveline Classic stuff. I'm sure he's got it.
I would love to hear the audio of me, of the person calling in and saying, can you type in the machine Loveline? But I bet it would be the second show that I told it that someone would have grabbed it.
Yeah.
But someone going, hey, man.
Probably both are out there. What if we could actually track down that caller?
I would love to.
Like, who is the guy? How will we confirm it? But let me, you were building to something with your labs, you said. You wanted to build to some point by telling me your labs, having me guess your labs.
We're here.
Okay.
Is that I'm going to live forever and that Tom's probably going to die young and there's nothing we can do about that. When you look at like how soft his body is, right? Like when and what was happening is I was watching this one moment where he got hurt in an instant and I went, of course, that's what happens to guys like Tom. You know, like I've been fucking just trying to destroy myself for years and I'm still here.
You're right. I mean, Bears.
What would have happened to Tom if he had been living my lifestyle, right? Like partying every night.
Yeah, yeah.
He'd be like Belushi. He'd be dead in a fucking...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Not everyone can take that.
It's interesting. I look at Ron White kind of as like my Zeus, right?
Yeah.
Because first of all, he doesn't have any anxiety. So the guy smokes and drinks, smokes weed, drinks tequila. He'll drink a tequila in the middle of the day. And I go, that's impressive.
Yeah.
Like I've actually built my...
You wish you could be like him.
I look at them. Ernest Hemingway. Mm. Now granted, I think he killed himself, right?
Yeah. He died of alcoholism.
Yeah. Ernest Hemingway. I wrote them down the other day. John Daly. John Daly is a fucking impressive individual. Mickey Mantle. These are all like... I wrote them down the other day. Did I give you my list of people that are my heroes, Nadav?
No.
Okay. Winston Churchill. This motherfucker would wake up. He'd have eggs, bacon, toast, a little jam, a little butter, some seltzer water, some fruit juice, and a scotch, Drew.
First thing of the day.
And a cigar. First thing in the morning, Drew. First thing in the fucking morning.
Yeah.
He'd have a scotch and a cigar. I watched that sober. Sober, like I'm not drinking this month. Sober, I watched that. And all I thought to myself was, I'm doing that one day. One day on January 24th. On Winston Churchill, the day he died, I'm going to celebrate life the way he lived his life.
Oh, just one day a week.
Just one day a week. All just right.
one day a year.
Out of the year.
Yeah, yeah.
One day,
okay.
One day,
I sign off on that. If you're not trying to be sober, I sign off on that.
Like, how great would it be to have a cigar in your bed?
Yeah.
Like, no one has a cigar in their bed. Yeah. You're sleeping in an ashtray.
That's gross.
He had a cigar in his bed every morning. And then he would get in the bath, have his drink and a cigar, and dictate to his fucking young, just be like, all right, tell him. I don't do a good Winston Churchill. All right.
Right.
Hey, tell Hitler. Hey, we all have a tale.
It's a good one. It's a good one.
That's a good. I just watched. I'm obsessed with Winston Churchill.
My favorite Churchill reproduction was the John Lithgow scene within The Queen where he's getting dressed down by her. It was such a poignant scene.
Have you seen
The Queen?
No, I haven't. Wait, is
The Crown?
The Crown. I beg your pardon. The Crown.
The Crown's the one where like Princess Diana's in it?
That's the latest season, but the first season, it's all about Churchill.
I love it.
You should watch the first three or four episodes.
There's something about like, I think
Lithgow does an amazing Churchill. Amazing.
Here's the thing that I fucked up on is like, there's a part of me that jokes about everything. And then there's a part of me that I really think left to my own devices. Had I never been in Rolling Stone magazine or anything, if I just lived a life, I'd be someone who would be really fucking funny to be around. I think I'd be the guy. Like,
what would your job have been?
Probably like selling boats or
like, salesman.
Probably I would have been in sales.
But something cool, something you enjoyed.
Something, and I would have. I've been in the guy that like none of my friends like have jobs where they like.
And you'd entertained every day after work.
Entertained. Yeah. I'd be fucking larger than life.
Yeah.
I'd be fun as fuck. I would have had married a bimbo. I would have had like 7 kids.
Did you? Did you know this about yourself all along, or is this something you're now realizing?
No, no, no. I knew that what I wanted out of life, I wanted adventure, but within my parameters of it.
Yeah.
Like I was a different human being before I got into television. Television kind of fucked me up a little bit.
Why?
I didn't trust anybody. I had some bad interactions, getting mauled by a bull and choked out.
You're talking about the travel thing.
Hurtbert was FX, and that kind of fucking made me scared, like really scared for the first time in my life, about dying. Because I got mauled by a bull, I almost got attacked by a shark. Like all that stuff kind of fucked me up a little bit.
So they put you in bad situations.
Really bad situations. So I never trusted. And so all my times at Travel Channel, I never trusted. But
reasonably so, sounds like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have like PTSD from that shit.
Yeah.
And I know it sounds silly, but like I can't sit in a roller coaster because I start freaking the fuck out. That was never who I was.
What happened? A roller coaster?
I got stuck in one for like 45 minutes.
They did that on purpose too?
No, at Magic Mountain. Do you know the one where you stand in it and then the floor disappears and they pull your body so it's parallel?
It's like the Superman or something, or Ninja.
We fucking do that thing, and then we're out on the waiting.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, it seems like we're here for a while, right? I'm strapped in. I have cameras on me.
Well, and you're in like a cellophane, right? They got this weird thing you're lying on.
And then they pull us into the thing. The floor kind of half comes up. Then it comes up. And they're like, all right, guys, everyone relax. We're going to be here for a while. And I start having panic.
You're not up upside down or something.
Oh, no. We're staring at the ground. We're flying still like Superman. And I go, I'm working at the time for Travel Channel. And I go, hey, can I talk to the lady in charge? She comes over, very sweet lesbian woman, comes over, bigger woman. And she goes, we're going to be fine. We're going to get you out of here. And I said, how long are we looking? She goes, I just called the operator. He's on his way. I went, okay. Now I'm familiar with the park. I go, what ride is he at? She goes, he's not at a ride. He's at his house. And I said,
where's his house?
And she goes, okay, calm down. He lives in Ontario. And I went, oh my God. Geez. It's 4 o'clock. And I'm like,
oh my gosh.
She goes, he's coming out and it's going to be. And I go, can you just get me out real quick? And she goes, no. And I said, listen, I'm freaking out. And I'm afraid this poor woman, if she ever hears this, knows this very well. She sat crisscross applesauce underneath me and held my hand the whole fucking time.
Wow.
The whole time. And I was like, I really appreciate that. She goes, calm down. You're the safest. And she just walked me through all the things. If there's an earthquake, the only ones that are safe right now are you. You are built into a structure that is. And starts going through all
how
the things
safe you
that
are
make
relative
me
to
safe.
Other things. Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And she goes, hey, if this gets really bad, I have a knife. I can start cutting out the webbings. I'll get you out of here. But let's save this. And like, this woman fucking is like, where's that? If it was my wife would be sitting, man, you're fucked. This is going to be really bad for a long fucking time.
Or she would have been saying, just shut up, Bert.
Yeah. So.
So what can't you tell your therapist and why?
There's a lot I hide from him because we do it on Skype.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid that people will log into my Skype and then just air my therapies.
Yeah.
So
why don't you, and this is a new thing, Skype?
No,
therapy?
I've always lied to him.
Okay. And so what?
I don't lie bad ways, but I just lie. I don't lie, but
you said
like,
there are certain things
I can't talk about.
Why?
There's certain things like, I'll give you an example. I'll give you a perfect example that I can share because I know I'm in a safe place. And I know it. Okay. So I signed this deal one time and I only told Tom and Push were the only people I told. And now, granted, the industry talks, right? But I told Tom and Push, I told him exactly how much money I signed it for, and I didn't tell anyone else. And then all of a sudden, Tom's agents all knew about my deal. Now, granted, this deal was I had 3 different offers from 3 different companies, and I chose one. So there were 3 different companies bidding on this deal, and I chose one company. So all the people know that I signed some. Like, so it's not a secret, but everyone's saying it's a secret. And so I tell Tom, and then my agent's managers was like, your boy Tom told everyone. And I was like, no, he didn't. And I wanted to work through that in my head. Now I can talk about it now because I really know he didn't. I wanted to work through that in therapy, but I couldn't. I couldn't because I was afraid that if I talked about this in therapy, someone would steal this footage.
Yeah, you got to get out of the Zoom thing. You got to go in person.
And so I just kept it inside me. And then Leanne goes, hey, you should talk to Tom about this. I go, I can't. And she goes, why? I said, I'm pot committed. I do this in life.
I'm pot committed.
Pot committed is a gambling term. It means when you have more chips in there that are worth you getting out of it. Because if you lose, you're already out of the game anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you might as well put all your chips in. I'm pot committed.
Yeah.
And I'm pot committed with Tom. Yeah. If Tom is a lying snake in the grass, it's cool, man. He's my best friend.
Yeah,
I'll take it.
Yeah.
Like, I've already committed to this guy. Like, I love him too much. If he's, I just gotta love him and go, then that's my friend.
Yeah.
Because I ended up talking to him about it, and he was like, you told me not to tell anyone. Tom's someone you can tell a secret. See, if he had told me, I probably would have told everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, because that's who I am.
Yeah.
But he knows who I am, so he never tells me secrets.
Right, of course.
You know, so like, I'm pretty good. Like, Ari one time told me about, oh, I don't know what I said. Ari told me a, Ari told me a secret one time, and I didn't realize, it was crazy. He told me a secret in a car driving to Joe's podcast. I'm not even joking. 10 minutes after he told me the secret, I told the other two guys in front of Ari. Like, and he goes, I just told you that was a secret. And I was like, oh, no one was supposed to know? And he goes, that's how a secret fucking works. I go, yeah, but they should know. And he goes, no, I didn't want to tell them. And then Joe's like, why would you do that? And Ari's like, I didn't want to deal with this right now. And I was like, oh, I'm really sorry. And he goes, I will never tell you another secret. Ari one time wanted to go on a hike, and he goes, I have two good hikes. One's like a secret path, and I go, oh, tell me that one. He goes, I'm afraid you're going to tell everyone the secret path. And I go, no, I won't tell anyone. And he goes, you won't, not even your wife? I go, well, I definitely tell her. And he goes, that's what a secret means. You can't tell her. And I go, oh, bro, I'm going to tell like my friends. And he goes, no, I would tell you, and you could never. And I go, so then I would only get to hike this path by myself? And he goes, I only hike it by myself because I don't want people to know about it. And I was going to share it with you, hoping you wouldn't tell anyone. And I was like, oh, I'm going to tell everyone. Don't tell me about this path.
Yeah. You're what's in your head comes out your mouth.
Yeah. I'm an open book, and it's bad
news. No. You're not somebody that should take a seat.
Probably not healthy that I just share all my my blood scores with the world.
No, it's all right.
Yeah, it's fine, right?
It's your call.
Here's my thing about health is I know that preemptive medicine, what is it called?
Preventative
medicine is the best way to live your life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's how, like,
you're indestructible. If I hadn't what?
If you, like, I always think about you going, you said, it's the words, sometimes beautiful words catch me. They caught my cancer on the way to Mecca. And I went, huh? It's just the way you said it. And you said, I had, by the way, did you tell me this is a secret? Have you talked about this?
Go ahead, whatever. Anything about my cancer is open.
I fucking, see, this is wrong with me. Someone will tell me a secret and I'll remember it so good. And then I'll want to share it because it's a beautiful way to say things.
Yeah, yeah.
But you said that they caught your cancer on its way to Mecca. And I went, what do you mean? You go, man, if they hadn't caught that, I am gone. And I went, really? And you're like, yeah, thank God. And all I think is that thank God comes after, for me, all the anxiety of having to go to the doctor.
Yeah.
The anxiety of being like, I don't want to go to the doctor. I don't want to go do this. I don't even want to know. I'd rather not even know. And I just think of that. I think of those, that old black lady saying, it's better you walk through those, and you go, and they caught it on its way to Mecca. Did you say that, or did I make that up?
I might have said something like that.
What do you think you said? Because I remember on its way to Mecca,
That does not sound like me.
It doesn't sound like you.
But the idea is that the tumor was on its way to escaping, and that's not good. Oof. That's not good. So it's all good to get it out early.
I got to get a colonoscopy.
Yeah, I just had one Wednesday. I had one last week.
Really?
Yeah.
I talked to...
You got to do it. You've never had one?
I'm really bad with secrets.
Have you never had one?
I have had two friends get one.
Have you never had one?
I've never had one.
I get them every year.
Every
year. It's a pain. Ugh.
They say you're not supposed to get them until 50. Tom goes, they lowered that to 35. I was like...
Well, it wouldn't be a bad idea. I started mine earlier, yeah.
I asked one of my friends... I asked Tom. I got one. I hope he shared this. I'm sharing everyone's secrets. Tom got a colonoscopy, and he said, I go, so do they put you under for that? I didn't realize that they're going up your ass with something. And he's like, you think you're awake for that?
What do you think?
Ah!
What did you
ah!
What did you think it was?
I don't know what it was. I don't even know what it is, to be honest with you.
Well, they can go this way or this way or both. You probably get both.
I want it.
But you, this may have to get cut out. Speaking of secrets, are you good with Ari now?
Yeah.
Things are cool?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay. Although, I'll say this. I've really forgiven him for drugging me. I really have forgiven him. My wife has not. I can't share things, which really bums me out. I can't share things where I talk to Ari about things. But he really is a good... I mean this in the best way. He is a very broken dude in that the way he sees the world is through Ari's lens. Mm. Like, he's not... You can explain other ways to see the world, but certain things don't make sense to him, and they never will. He's been a bachelor for so long that the only person he needs to make sure is taken care of every day is himself.
Yeah.
Himself and his dog, maybe his chick, but I think really him.
Yeah.
I don't mean that in a bad way. That's just how his brain works. It's fun to talk to that brain, because my brain is take care of everyone else first and then take care of myself. Not totally, but it's fun. But when you have a disagreement with Ari, I can't share it with my wife because she doesn't like him. Mm. So she just goes, yeah, why are we talking about this human?
Women generally have more trouble letting go of things.
Oh.
They do. They once they get a resentment, it's on.
Oh, especially
men. Yeah, and men, no, all women are that way. Well, really? A lot of women are that way. And men are
No, do broad strokes. Yeah, all women can't drive either. Keep going. I love broad strokes. I love broad strokes. I wish you could just say that, like, all Japanese people eat humans. Like,
yeah.
That is from a book I read. And that's why you shouldn't read books. Here's another question. If you were going to eat a human like the Japanese?
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
Japanese,
all right.
Is it Japanese?
Yeah, Japanese people from Japan, yeah.
Japanese. In World War II,
oh.
They ate tons of humans.
To survive.
Oh. Now, and I'm reading this book called The Flyboys. If you have any questions about these and you're going, Bert, this is racist, you just got to read a book, okay? And that's why I say you shouldn't read books. But they ate humans a lot. Mm. It was an issue. The colonels would eat the livers, and they would go, hey, we're going to go execute that prisoner, but when you do, send a doctor. I want them to pull out his liver.
Oh my
God. Then we want to eat his liver, and then they would eat his liver because they thought it helped them get stronger or whatever. But here's the fucked up one, and this is from a doctor's point of view.
Yeah.
Because I've been really into processing videos of dudes processing cows and elks.
Yeah.
Shout out to the beer butcher. So the Japanese soldiers, I say people, it's not people, it's Japanese soldiers. Yeah. It's Japanese soldiers from World War II, because they didn't want the meat to go bad, they would cut off an arm, and then they'd eat that arm, and they'd let that human stay alive, RPOW.
Ugh.
And then they would come get him and then get the other arm.
Oh, my God.
Because they didn't want the meat to go bad.
Yeah, I understand.
But here's what I was thinking. After watching them process a bunch of cows, what would be the best part of a human to eat?
Legs and arms, yeah.
Legs. But a cow's got, like, flat iron steaks and flank steaks.
Ribs and things.
And ribs. Like, the ribs seem to be good. Would our ribs be good? I suppose.
I don't know. I've never thought about this.
But you've seen inside a human, right?
I have, but you're taking me to a very strange place I've never visited.
Like, you've never operated on a human and then said, that looks tasty.
No, I've not done that. I've never had that thought till this moment, which is kind of fun. Thank you for giving me a new sort of challenge.
Just next time you're with a Japanese doctor and he's cutting up a human, and go, hey man, if this was 1942, it'd be a different story.
Did they do it to survive? Like, they were out of...
No, the colonels did it. And by the way, once again, this is why you shouldn't read. I'm not a good reader, so I don't know if I'm reading all this properly, but the colonels were eating livers. Man, World War II was such a fucking shit show for the Japanese.
Yeah.
They had this guy, Toto, I think was his name, who was the prime minister, who took charge of everything because the fucking emperor wasn't doing shit because he was a kid, I think. And he took charge of everything and would just send soldiers to Guam or send soldiers to a place, Midway, send soldiers to Saipan and just go, I'm not sending any food.
Ooh.
And these guys got there and they're like, oh, I guess we'll eat our shoes. And he's like, or each other. And so they would eat each other. They would eat POWs. They were just trying to survive. I'm not shitting on these guys. But what's crazy is some of them were from America. They were from America. And they had gone back to Japan. Like, one dude was from Hawaii. He went back to Japan. And then he was, like, the only one that spoke English. And he's talking to these guys, two American guys. One kid's from San Francisco. One kid's from Hawaii. One kid's from Pittsburgh. The one from Pittsburgh's a POW. And he's like, yeah, it's pretty fucked up here. He's like, they're just going to take you on a walk, man. It's cool.
Oh.
We want you to see the sunset. And then they fucking stab him with bayonets and eat his liver. Now...
Where are we? How did we get here, Bert? Does your brain do this during the day?
It only when I sit in this chair. And by the way, so now the last
and
thing.
And I'm wondering also how you stay off TikTok and YouTube with your brain the way it is.
TikTok, I'm there for an hour. I watched this dude that just got out of prison yesterday.
Is your brain the way it is? I would imagine that kind of stuff that the world, that the Facebook and everybody creates to addict you, just forget it. You're lost.
It's bad news.
Yeah.
The last thing I want to do, before we leave.
All right.
I got a hilarious text yesterday.
Okay.
I want to share the text with you, and then I would like to call the guy.
Okay.
And I want to find the backstory. And I think you're going to hear the text and go, I definitely want to know the backstory too.
Okay.
So yesterday at 9:30 in the morning.
Is this somebody you know?
Don't know this guy.
How do you get your number?
No idea.
Woo. Okay.
9:30 in
the
morning.
That's scary already.
I get a text. Guess who, you saucy little biscuit man? Right?
All right.
And so I'm like, okay, there's someone from college.
Yeah.
And so I write back. I checked the area code. 703 is the area code. It's Northern Virginia. So I go, who do I know in Northern Virginia? And I go, I don't know, Dave Matthews, right? Because I knew he grew up in Virginia. And the guy goes, LOL, bro. I'll make it easy. Ahoy. Setting sail for Port Mayonnaise. Petty Officer Pudding Time is out for Oreos.
What?
And then I get a text.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God. Please disregard all of this. I just found out I'm texting the wrong number. I'm very sorry to have bothered you. I hope you have a Merry Christmas, and please take care. So I was like, okay. I want to know who Petty Officer Pudding Time is. And he's setting sail to Port Mayonnaise. Like, it was just like such – it was such a fucking hilarious text that I wrote back, ha, 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 who the fuck is this? And then I wrote Bert Kreischer, meaning I'm Bert Kreischer. And he went, ha ha, Bert Kreischer. I'm definitely not him, though that would be pretty dang nifty.
Oh.
My name's Brandon. Fuck it. Bleep it if you need to. My name's Brandon, and I thought I was texting an old college buddy that I drove cross country with when we moved to LA like 15 years ago. Haven't talked to him in a hot minute. Just realized I entered the wrong number when I got my old phone. I'm so sorry. And I wrote, ha ha ha. No, this is Bert Kreischer. And he goes, no way. And I went, it is. And he goes, if this is serious, I'm actually a huge fan of yours and I love your stuff, but this is easily the weirdest, coolest wrong number I've ever gotten. And I go, I posted it to my Instagram. He goes, oh my God, this is wild. So I wanted to call him and find, I know Nadav. I got you, buddy. Now we're going to call him.
Okay.
I should FaceTime him, huh? Because that way he knows it's me.
No. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, why not? What? Nadav's like giving a
voice call?
Yeah, let's do a voice call.
Okay. Nadav's giving the
okay. Okay, so this Brandon.
Is good.
He's got to save my number as in Bert Kreischer, right?
Uh-huh.
He's probably got a job. Oh, he's probably staying home. He's in North Virginia. Come on, Brandon.
3 hours later.
Hello?
Brandon.
Yes.
Hey, it's Bert Kreischer.
What's up, man?
Hey, listen, I'm on a podcast, and I wanted to talk to you. Is it okay if we record you for a podcast?
Absolutely.
Okay. Hey, Brandon, I'm super curious about the text I got from you yesterday. And I want to know maybe just a little bit of backstory about where Port Mayonnaise is and who Petty Officer Pudding Time is. And what does it mean when he goes out for Oreos?
Well, that's a pretty loaded question right there.
Are you Officer Pudding Time?
I mean, I've been Petty Officer Pudding Time, but I'm not always Petty Officer Pudding Time. It depends.
So how does one become Petty Officer Pudding
Time? It's like, is that like catcher and pitcher?
No, it's nothing sexual. That's the thing. It's more of like a state of mind, I guess.
Oh,
Petty Officer Pudding Time. So, because I would really
it's very
love
poetic.
I would love to incorporate this into our show, Two Bears One Cave, and find out what I need. How do I get into Petty Officer Pudding Time? And is out for Oreos code for anything, or is I'm just like I'm out for Oreos, bro?
Well, Oreos it's another word for squirrel treats, which is another word for. I mean, I don't know.
No.
Don't start there.
You are putting a new vernacular into my brain because I'm all about squirrel treats and I don't even know what they are.
What are they?
Yeah, they sound good, don't they?
They sound fucking awesome. I want squirrel treats.
Aren't they like toffee, sugary? Kind
no,
of
no. I think squirrel treats are beers. Really? Oh. What are squirrel treats?
Oh, it could be beers. It could be the toffee, whatever, sugar. Who's that in the background? Is that Tom?
No, that's Dr. Drew.
Oh. Hey, Dr. Drew.
Hey, man.
Hey, you kept, like, hey, I'm sitting at home. Hey, Dr.
Hey,
Drew.
Hey, Captain Pudding Time.
Yeah, this is wild. Yeah, so it's, I mean, it's not so much sugar as it's more, yeah, as you're thinking more of the,
I want to know how Brandon's going to explain this phone call to his friends. None of his friends are going to believe him.
Something to change your state of mind, I guess.
Something to change your state of mind, okay. Are squirrel treats all or right. Oreos. I wouldn't mind some Oreos or squirrel treats.
Got it.
And you're like, yo, so port mayonnaise, what's port mayonnaise? Is that like, it's like, hey, man, port mayonnaise is where you go get all the squirrel treats and Oreos?
Yeah, port mayonnaise is where you've pretty much gone when you've collected enough squirrel treats. And then that's where you're at. You stay there until you're... You need more squirrel treats. And
this is some sort of, acid trip.
This is awesome. Yeah, yeah. So now, are there other officers on this boat?
Oh yeah.
Oh, okay. So you got Petty Officer Pudding Time.
So Petty Officer Pudding Time is as far as we've ever gotten. This got started back in college, okay. Where, and this is going to show my age right here. But I saw something regarding this on one of my friend's away messages for a long time. I think it was, he took it from like, I want to say Tucker Max or something like this. It was like back 2003, 2004.
Okay. Yeah.
Sounds like Tucker.
In the fraternity, and it kind of went from there, and it turned into this, yeah, what I'm talking about now. And it's just been, you know, state of mind now.
Well, now we've elevated
really
the
love it.
We've elevated the awareness of all this now.
Well,
this is achieving new status.
I'll tell you right now, my boat's been docked because port mayonnaise has been shut down for me. My buddy, Petty Officer Pudding Time, broke his arm and his leg and has been getting squirrel treats out the ass,
yeah.
And got addicted to squirrel treats. Now he's detoxing off of Oreos. But on January 1st, on December 31st, Petty Officer Pudding Time is setting off for port mayonnaise, and we are getting Oreos. I can promise you that.
Thank goodness.
Yep, and if you go, and I'll tell you what, Brandon, I'm going to send you a link for ymhstudios.com/livestream, and you can watch our live show on New Year's Eve if you want to.
I would love to. I'm a big fan of y'all's. I watch... Two Bears, One Cave religiously. Saw The Cabin, seen your stand-ups.
Yeah. Fuck, yes.
Tom, Bill Burr, yeah. Big fans.
Well, hey, man, you have introduced a new way of speaking to me. I will be talking like this for the next fucking 6 months. I appreciate it. This is the best wrong text message I've ever gotten in my life.
Dude, you have no idea. This blew my mind.
Well, hey, stay safe. Have a Merry Christmas, and I'll talk to you later. Hopefully,
yeah, you too, bro.
New Year's Eve.
All right, buddy. Bye,
Captain Pudding Time, Corporal Pudding Time.
Fucking,
that's so funny.
Oh, that is. I love. That was the greatest. I'm gonna wrap it up. Can I tell you the other best wrong phone call I've ever gotten?
Yeah.
Guy calls me and he goes, "Hello." He calls and I go, "Hello." And he goes, "Steve." And I go, "No." And he goes, "Steve." I go, "No." He goes, "Hello?" And I said, "Hello." And he goes, "Is anyone there?" And he hangs up. I'm on Franklin, taking left onto La Brea.
Okay.
I'm at the light, and he calls back again. I go, "Hello?" And he goes, "Steve." And I go, "No." And he goes, "Steve." I go, "Hello?" And he goes, "Is anyone there?" And I said, "No." And he goes, "Hello?" And he hangs up again.
Weird.
So he calls again, and I go, "Hello?" And he goes, "Steve." And I go, "No, this is not Steve." And he goes, "Hello?" I go, "Listen, fucking asshole." And he goes, "Hey, you don't have to call me an asshole." I go, "You were fucking listening to me?" And he goes, "Yeah, man, and you don't have to talk like that." And he hangs up on me. So I call him back. And he goes, "Hello?" I go, "Fuck you." And I hang up, right? He calls me back. I go, "Hello?" And he goes, "Fuck you." And I hang up. I go, "You know what? I'm going to win at this." I go to the improv that night. I go, "Hey, guys, I got a wrong call." I tell him the story. I go, "Here's his phone number. At any time during the day, I want you to call him and just go, fuck you.
Oh, no.
I want this guy to get it from every fucking end, right? So I forget that he has my number."
Oh.
Right?
Oh.
So the next day I get a phone call and he goes, listen, motherfucker, I will put your number everywhere. You put my number out to all these. I got people calling me. Fuck you in the middle of the goddamn fucking night. I have a new baby. Fuck you. I will find you. And I'm like, oh, God, block number, block number. That backfired.
Not good.
No, not good.
He's probably still looking for you.
I wish I still had his number.
Why we call him now?
I'd call him right fucking.
I feel bad. You some young dad is out there trying to sleep. Look what you did to him.
I got you when there's a guy I got one number in here.
Yeah.
There's a guy who was sending me threatening texts. I told Nadav about this. And I got his number. And I have used his number for such evil. I
don't think I want to hear this about you.
He's sending me threatening texts. Like, the way he was talking to me was aggressive. Yeah. It was about Tom. I hope he's listening to this.
And this guy knew it was you?
Yeah, he knew it was me.
Okay.
And I talked to Mark Norman about this. I said, revenge is a dish best served cold. So I was on the jog one day, and I saw a car for sale. It was like a Lumina. It was a pretty cheap price. It was like $1,000. I was like, So I took a picture of it, and I posted up flyers. And I said, $1,000 or best offer. And then I put this guy's number on the little things. Put it right by the Starbucks by my house. And then I started putting up little signs for free shit. I take pictures of shit I thought was cool. And I put this guy's number up.
Dude, you were brutal.
I fucked this guy. You don't talk to me like that. You think I'm weak? I'll fucking show you weak. And then I called the FBI. I have a friend, my buddy. I have a friend who could help me figure out numbers. And I found out who it was.
Somebody new?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Someone I fucking knew.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway,
that's it.
Fuck with the B-man.
That's the story.
Yeah, yeah.
And did he ever find out it was you?
It's a burner account. Yeah, it was fucking. Yeah, the guy never found out it was me. Never found it was me.
Well, maybe he knows now.
Yep. So,
well, Bert, this is really fun.
Hey, Drew, I got to be honest with you. I had a blast. I did too.
I was afraid you were getting me Leanne honesty.
No. I had a fucking blast. I had a fucking blast.
Me too.
I love that you're a part of our lives. I know Leanne really, really loves that you're a part of our lives. But I love that you're a part of our lives. And I love that in times of hurt, whatever the fucks we're going through with Tom and his fucking drug addict broken bones, that you're here to help us. Because that was, you definitely saved us that day. Because we were like, we were just a bunch of squirrel treats with our heads cut off.
You were heading towards
Captain Pudding Time was set in sail for Port Kool-Aid.
You were on your way to Kool-Aid, man.
Kool-Aidville.
There was a lot of chaos going around.
And my petty officer, Vino.
In fact, let's learn something from this. Next time somebody wants to sign out of the hospital, call me then.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's the time to call me. Not when you're thinking about putting him in a hotel 12 hours later. It's like, what?
Hey, if you find anyone that has what my side of partying is, where it's like not necessarily rehab. By the way, shout out to John Mulaney. I hope he gets better.
I didn't mean to talk shit about him.
And
by the way, looking at his profile, he must be a really like a bad, you know, alone kind of drinker. You know what I mean?
I think you don't
see him out.
It's the reason I don't go to AA is because once you put it out that you went to AA, everyone has any judgment about you.
They're trying to help you.
I think John just was like, I just want to party a little bit. And then, I don't know, fucking pandemic got to him. Pandemic gets everyone.
Not to your boy, though.
I've been sober most of this goddamn pandemic. Yeah, this pandemic, I've been touring.
It's been good to you.
Transgestinalizer. Fucking, all right.
For that tornado. So it's been great. I love being here. I love being part of your guys' lives. And it's really a privilege. So I think back to where it all started. And it's so funny how I got involved here. It's so weird. It's literally because my wife booked Christina on a podcast I was doing with Bob Forrest back.
Your wife's, I don't get a blowjob without thinking about you,
thank
Tom,
you.
Your wife,
thank
or
you.
Christina.
Thank
at
you.
At one point.
That's wonderful.
I literally got a blowjob the other day and I thought it is weird that Tom and I get the exact same blowjob now because my wife taught Christina how to give her blowjob.
But didn't my wife up the game?
But your wife is the reason they're all sucking dicks.
Yeah,
because your wife said, hey, you can do it, and then fuck them. You don't have to give them a solid blow. Like, you, and now I just get a little bit of blowjob, and I'm like, hats off to the Pinskys.
So glad they're in our life.
Fucking yeah. Well, hey, thank you for doing
this,
Drew.
Let's do this again sometime. Let's do it again.
Let's do it again.
Doesn't have
and
to be
bring
what,
the vaccine next time. Yeah, fuck.
Doesn't have to be Tom broken for me to come in. So
we love you, Tommy.
Yeah, man.
Bert and Tom, Tom and Bert. One goes topless while the other wears a shirt. Tom tells stories and Bert's the machine. There's not a chance in hell that they'll keep it clean. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave. No scripts, a bit of booze, amateur partology. Dirty jokes, raunchy humor, no apologies. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave.